President Donald Trump scored two major Supreme Court victories Thursday on immigration. In one, the court ruled that the president has the right to end temporary protected status for immigrants from Haiti and Syria. In the other, it found that the Trump administration can turn away asylum seekers along the U.S.-Mexico border before they set foot on U.S. soil. In today's Daily, Henry Gass unpacks both rulings, which centered on a top issue that helped President Trump win re-election in 2024. As the saying goes, elections have consequences. It's Friday, June 26th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Linda Feldman. First, our curation of news briefs from Monitor writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. The Supreme Court struck down Hawaii's default ban on carrying guns in stores. Hawaii cannot bar legal gun carriers from entering private property without prior consent, the Supreme Court ruled Thursday. In a 6-3 decision, Justice Samuel Alito, writing for the majority, held that the state law hobbles the right of Americans to carry arms for self-defense as they go about their daily lives. In a dissent, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson argued the ruling exposes the court's own historical test for gun control laws as a fig leaf that gives too much discretion to courts to set policy. New Mexico's governor requested an independent investigation of the Drug Enforcement Administration. A news report revealed that agents had chosen to allow major shipments of fentanyl through New Mexico. A DEA administrator made the request to the agency's assistant inspector general on Thursday, days after the Associated Press published an investigation showing that agents had allowed hundreds of thousands of fentanyl pills to hit the streets in New Mexico between 2023 and 2025 in an effort to build cases against higher-ranking traffickers. President Donald Trump, last December, designated fentanyl a weapon of mass destruction. Also, Florida is shuttering alligator Alcatraz. Republican Governor Ron DeSantis announced the closure of the Everglades Detention Facility for unauthorized immigrants, which State Attorney General James Uthmeyer had dubbed alligator Alcatraz. Almost a year ago, President Donald Trump said the facility was for the worst of the worst. Mr. DeSantis said it was intended to be temporary and that Florida now has sufficient permanent facilities in place. The governor said 21,000 people had been processed and deported from the facility, which Amnesty International described as beset by inhuman and unsanitary conditions. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. In a pair of immigration rulings Thursday, the Supreme Court held that the law permits the government to turn away asylum seekers on the Mexico side of the U.S. border and end temporary protected status for Haitians and Syrians living in the United States. Henry Gass and Sarah Matusik report for The Monitor. The ouster of Prime Minister Keir Starmer has raised questions about Britain being ungovernable, though it's hardly unique among Western democracies. Can Andy Burnham make the tough choices to succeed where others have faltered? Columnist Ned Temko writes from London for The Monitor. Earlier this week, we covered Uruguay's renewable energy transition. As the Iran war raises energy prices, the Philippines weighs the costs of nuclear power against the costs of staying its current course. What does a peaceful, safe, and secure approach to nuclear power look like? Contributor Lorella Yu Sandoval reports from Manila, Philippines, for The Monitor. Before Russia became a consumer society, growing one's own food was an essential part of life. Now, some Russians are trying to recapture that part of their heritage by getting their hands dirty in Gorky Park. Fred Weir reports from Moscow for The Monitor. Beyond the pitch, the World Cup offers a chance for visiting fans from dozens of nations to share their cultures, consider their own preconceptions, and explore the host countries. Olivia Fletcher and Medara Udoekong report from Boston for The Monitor. Summer reading season is here with shady chair-ready books that expand imaginations and enrich understanding. In nonfiction, innovation blooms. From the first all-star baseball game to a 1909 cross-country car race to the man who laid the first transatlantic cable. Staff writers and contributors write for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on how Venezuelans' innate resources are coming to the rescue. The impact of Wednesday's powerful earthquakes in Venezuela is, understandably, testing the courage and resilience of hundreds of thousands of citizens and their government. After years of economic decline and mismanagement, basic emergency response resources are sorely lacking. Fortunately, many countries, including the United States, have been quick with offers of materials and expertise to support rescue and relief efforts. But as with similar emergencies around the world, ordinary civilians have been even quicker to step in and aid each other. Amid the dust and debris, Venezuelans helped older neighbors walk down rickety stairways, pulled people and pets to safety, and passed buckets of rubble hand to hand in the search for survivors. While physical infrastructure or capital might crumble, the human capital of caring is not easily destroyed. Rather, the innate spirit of selflessness prevails during times of dire need or apparent disaster, whether it's amid floods in North Carolina or northern Pakistan, famine and civil war in Sudan, or hurricanes in the Caribbean. Individual civilian efforts do not release governments from their obligation to restore public safety and rebuild infrastructure with speed and transparency. But they do underscore that the qualities of generosity, reliability, and neighborly help hold essential and enduring value among humanity. And this is showing itself in the reemergence of volunteerism around the world, although in new forms. In the U.S., continuing inflation is still constraining citizens' ability to donate money to charitable causes. But according to a 2026 Gallup report, volunteering has rebounded and now exceeds pandemic levels, suggesting that Americans are moving toward expressing civic commitment through time rather than dollars. And earlier research found that 51% of Americans over age 16 informally volunteered and helped neighbors, while 23% volunteered formally through an organization. Noting that all forms of volunteering matter, the United Nations has dubbed 2026 the International Year of Volunteers. Digital communications and connections are evolving new ways to contribute, the UN notes. But whether formal or informal, in person or digital, every act of volunteering counts. Expanding channels for doing good can redefine volunteering for the future. The more anybody can do to make it easier to volunteer to reduce friction, the better. Professor Nathan Dietz of the University of Maryland's Do Good Institute told the news site Reasons to be Cheerful. One citizen initiative in France, L'Heure Civique, or Civic Hour, has innovated a flexible, somewhat minimalist approach to do just that. So far, 24,000 volunteers in some 250 municipalities have stepped up to serve for just 1 hour a month in their communities. If all 24 hours in a day are counted, that works out to 12,000 days of volunteer time in just 1 year. People want to help. They want to feel useful, L'Heure Civique founder Atanase Perafan told Reasons to be Cheerful recently, observing, "Generosity is a renewable energy." As outside aid flows in to help Venezuela rebuild, the people of that country can also know their individual inclination to generosity and care will be reliable resources too. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor talks about whether it's possible to be removed from the harmony of God. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas, Kalena Onokwa, and Ian Case.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.